Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May, and with me today is Neil Golden. Neil, how are you doing today?
Fine, Rob. I'm glad to be here.
Great to have you on the show. So, Neil, I know that you're a stock chart reader, but why don't you tell us what exactly that is?
Well, what a stock chart reader does is he looks at the price of a stock on a chart. Vertically, the prices are listed, from $5 a share all the way up to, $1,000 a share. And the vertical axis measures price, and the horizontal axis measures the time. And what he's looking for mainly is a rapid movement in price over a short period of time.
Yeah, okay.
That's what you look for.
Okay. And in terms of what exactly to detect price movement, what is it that gives you an idea of something that's going to be doing something positive?
Well, usually you look for what they call a setup that's formed over a period of time. And if the setup, if you like it, then you figure out an entry point, a stop loss point, and then you project and see how far you think this stock will go in this short period of time, and that would be the exit point or the target that you have for this stock. It can be figured out mathematically how far it will go, and that's when you know if it's reached. You automatically get out, and if it fails, well, it goes in a different direction.
Right. And so how far in advance are you personally able to predict the stock movement?
Well, there's two types of trading that you can get into. Being a chart reader like I do, I like to use options, and I'm a short-term trader, 2 to 3 days
okay.
maximum. But sometimes, I could buy options, 6 months out or even out to a year, hoping that over a longer period of time. And by doing this, trading off what I'd say the short term versus the longer term, mm-hmm. which is also considered a short period of time, 6 months or to a year. But the whole idea is, like I said before, is to capture a major price move in the
right.
price of the stock. Right.
And so what, for people that don't know, I mean, what is safer in the trade game? Is it, are short-term ones safer than long-term, or how does that kind of work?
As far as safety, well, that would, the first thing I'd have to say is that, it's why in all books now, when you pick them up on investing, they start out with a disclaimer saying that trading or investing in stocks is not a science. It's only an art, and you should never trade with money you can't afford to lose. So as far as safety, there's a sure thing. I mean, like I said, there's there's literally hundreds of stock patterns you can choose, but
right.
there's only about a handful that you actually follow, about five or so that are
right.
really quite profitable. And when you see these patterns forming, that's how you know you're likely to come out as a winner. In a sense, that's why when you look at a chart, you first have to decide, well, is this a intraday chart showing only the price movement for one day, or is it daily chart that you're looking at, or is it a weekly chart that shows the movement from the beginning of the week to the end of the week, or is it a monthly chart showing the price of a stock at a beginning of the month and ending of the month? And usually the longer term, using monthly charts, if you trade off of those and look for what they call breakouts, your safety factor and chances of succeeding are a lot greater than if you're just looking at, let's say, hourly charts or five-minute charts, because the long-term movement is indicated and you see it before you even get into the trade.
Okay. And so does stock price actually affect your ability to predict its movement?
Well, that's a very good question. And the thing is, price has nothing to do with it. It's all about the timing. Timing is the most important thing. You know, you hear people always talking about buy low and sell high.
Right.
Well, when it comes to trading, price is irrelevant. What's high today could be much higher tomorrow, and what's low today could be much lower tomorrow, or vice versa, depending on which direction that you're going. So price has nothing to do with your decision to buy a stock when you're looking at a chart and correctly interpretation what you think will happen next. The most important thing to do is to take your emotions out of it.
Right.
And just make it mechanical.
And you mentioned that timing is more important, obviously.
That's the most important thing, yeah. You're trying to forecast or predict a rapid movement in price over a short period of time. And the only other thing I could add to this is that usually if investors aren't using charts, you know, a lot of them do what they call fundamental analysis. This would be considered more or less a longer term thing or growth for a stock, mm-hmm. in the sense that it's what maybe financial institutions do, or maybe what brokerage firms would do. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of big firms out there, you know, mutual funds, pension funds, and hedge funds that are all trading stocks, you know, looking for a profit. So you as an individual going up against these people with billions of dollars, if you, it's pretty easy to get wiped out.
Absolutely. I'm sure it happens more often than not to, you know, individuals trying to get into the game for the first time.
I think one of the mistakes that a lot of first-time traders make is that they, you know, they hear about a stock on TV and they think, well, gee, I think I'd like to own that. And as soon as they buy it, the next day it starts going south. that's a mistake that all professional traders have made, and it just keeps occurring once, you know, every so often, you know, people make these mistakes. So.
All right. And so how long have you been in stock chart reading for?
It's something that caught my attention really in about mid-80s, around 1985 or so, and I started subscribing to magazines, you know, and looking at books. You know, then the thing was, you know, they had actual bookstores back in 1985, so you could walk around and look on books on investing, and then they had some other things where you could order books and stuff. So it was mainly, you know, looking at a lot of magazines. And the thing that really fascinated me was the people who were considered the founding founders of it. And when I found out who they were and when they lived, mainly they were all alive around the 1880s, and it's been progressing ever since. It's a really fascinating story about Wall Street, I find.
And now, was this something that you were able to make your living off of?
No, it was mainly just a hobby back then. There were some other famous ones out there. I don't know if I should mention their names. There's traders or whatever, but there was this one guy that entered a contest with $10,000, and he made, you know, $3 million during the year, and by the end of the year, he only had $1 million left. He's probably one of the more famous ones out there. And then there's another guy around 1985 named Richard Dennis, who bet with his friends, a friend of his, a close friend, that he could actually teach other people to trade. Because, you know, there's two types of traders. They say, you know, either you're quick or you're dead. And they always thought up until then, you know, this stuff couldn't be taught. But absolutely. Now they know that it can be taught. And so it's been progressing ever since. But the techniques are basically the ones that were known about since, I'd say, you know, the 1880s, and the last famous book that I'm familiar with was probably written in around 1935.
Wow. So even books dated from back then are still relevant to now.
Yes, they are. Very much so. And I don't even think you can find copies of them now. They're pretty hard to come by, but they're out there because, you know, since then all these people are or dead, but what they contributed to the science of, or the art, I'd say, of investment is gone all over the world.
And so for you personally, how long did it take you to learn chart reading and to grasp it? And obviously I'm sure that your skills, you know, were enhanced over the years, but, I mean, how long did it take you to actually get a firm grasp of the art?
Well, familiarity with it is one thing. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was in 2010, I said, hey, you know, I'm at the age, I think I'll retire or something, but one thing I want to go out with, I want to master this.
Right.
So over about a two-year period or so, you know, just reading, and thinking about it over and over and over and over. it finally made sense to me. And then when I considered, you know, who the founding fathers were and their contribution, it all made sense.
And so,
and now I'm talking to you.
And aside from reading, are there any other steps involved in further understanding the process?
Well, for me, I would suggest if people were really interested in it, you know, they would go out and find someone and find what I call a mentor,
right,
you know, and use him because he can save you hours and hours and years and, mm-hmm. you know, save you from having to read, you know, all the books that have been published, you know, and coming away with nothing. So I'd say that would be the best way to do it. If you were to do it today, find someone out there that has a good reputation and do it. The only drawback is the prices are coming down, but some people charge an excessive amount of money. You know, they mm-hmm. want like $30,000 to do it.
Wow.
Well, I didn't you know, spend $30,000 to have someone talk to me about it, but I have spent a lot of money on books and have taken a lot of losses over the years.
Sure. And was mentoring an idea in your head? Have you ever thought of, you know, taking on people to kind of show them the ropes?
Well, that's not an easy task. You need lots of support to do that kind of thing, so no. being a mentor for me, it wouldn't be my cup of tea. No, I mean, especially, you know, when I can just go in the room, close the door, turn on my computer, and have no one question me. Yeah, you know, why do it? No questions to answer or whatever.
Absolutely. And I'm speaking with Neil Golden, stock chart reader. And Neil, with the change of the season now, is there a better time of year for stock prediction?
It's not a prediction, but historically, the whole economy is changing, just like global warming is coming into effect and the seasons are going awry. You know, it's still snowing, and this is supposed to be spring as we're doing this broadcast. But
right.
Historically, when we were just an industrial and farming nation, the time period from October to April was the best time, and historically that would be the time that the stock market would rise.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for the rest of the year, let's say May through July, there may be a short rally, or sometime between May through September, there could be one or two short rallies during the time, but they're not really all that meaningful. But the best time of the year, where 90% of the money is made, that I feel, it's between the time of October through April, historically.
And is there anything that contributes to that? Is there, you know, I mean, aside from just...
One of it has to do, in the United States, has to do with Christmas, especially with the retail stores, because that's when they would, you know, go from in the red to the black, as they would say, you know, and that's when retail stores would be making their money. But, you know, in the future, with everybody, you know, more and more people every year buying stuff offline and shipping,
yep,
and everything, I guess they call them brick-and-mortar stores, could be on the decline.
Certainly.
So that has an effect, you know, and then, so historically, it's, like I said, between October and April, you know,
right,
90% of the money is made. And then, you know, September would be the worst month of all to do investing. So,
mm-hmm.
But you can never tell. You know, like I said, there's usually a short rally, you know, sometime between May or and September during the year. There could be two short rallies during this time period.
Right. And in terms of the industry that the stock is kind of in, that I'm sure that plays an effect, as certain industries probably have busier seasons than others.
That's most definitely so. There's the biotech industry that's really hot right now, and then there's pharmaceuticals, pharmacy companies.
Mm-hmm.
There's a season for everything, a seasonality. Something that's not readily admitted, you know, just like I was talking about brick-and-mortar retail stores. Yeah, their best season is in December, you know, November, December, where they do most of their sales. So, every niche or every industry has their time, you know.
Right.
And that has to do with also, I guess, when the nation was earlier, the United States, in the summer, you know, kids would get out of school so that they could help their parents harvest the crops, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So, Neil, I heard you mention earlier the term trend line. Now, I personally know that I don't know much about that. Why don't you familiarize people with what that means?
Trend line, I feel, is the basic thing that everyone should know in order to, before they make an investment, they should know what a trend line is, what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
If you have like a point A, you know, at $5 or so, and then the stock goes up to say $15, from $5 to $15, and then there's a pullback, which will say it pulls back to $10, and then it goes all the way up to $20, that would be a trend line. It has points A, B, C, and D. A point would be a point at $5. B point would be the first time it goes to the $15, and then C would be the pullback to $10, and then D would be the $20. Mm-hmm. This sort of a zigzag or lightning bolt type of formation is the way that stocks move. They don't move in a straight line from point A to point B.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like a yin and a yang.
Right.
And the important thing you have to know is what time it is, in the sense that is a stock advancing or is it pulling back before you make your investment. Nobody likes to make an investment and have the stock, you know, lose $10 within the next month or so. Your
so,
timing is bad.
And that's not good because timing is everything, as you've told us.
Right.
So for your personal approach to stock prediction, why don't you share that with us? What exactly is your personal approach?
I look for certain type of stock reversals. They tell you you really shouldn't be looking for those, but actually you should be looking for those. You know, there's this story about, I was once reading this biography of this guy called J. Paul Getty, and they were asking him, you know, how do you get rich? But if you have $1 billion, when everybody is selling, you should be a buyer. And when everybody's buying, you should be a seller. So you have to sort of figure these things out. And by observation and other things, you can more or less become somewhat good at it, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, things will be a lot easier. But you sort of make predictions in your own mind where things will happen. I mean, you know, with robots coming on and things like this, for the future of jobs in America, I'd say it doesn't look good at this point.
Yeah.
You give it another 20 years, and the days of somebody doing something for 20 or 30 years or at this point, it's just about over. You know?
Right.
So that's how fast, you know, robots are being developed and applied to American industries, from, you know, grocery stores to banks to anything you can name.
Sure.
Everything is being automated.
So would you say that, I mean, it's pretty clear that the advancements in technology have definitely affected the industry?
Yeah, there's technology. Another thing that has happened is that at this point, the United States is not by itself. You know, they have what they call the BRIC countries out there, like Brazil, Russia, China, and India. And these countries are industrializing also. So what used to be just the United States is now a world global economy. And in a few years, you know, like right now, the United States has the largest economy in the world. It's, you know, mm-hmm. one of the biggest. In a couple of years, we're expected to be the second largest economy in the world, behind China, who is rapidly advancing. just not a, you know, an economic threat, but it has a lot to do with the value of the American dollar, you know,
right.
Which some people want it to go down lower so that we can export our goods to these developing countries, while on the other hand, you know, I guess the Chinese want to see it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
They would like to have their currency, you know, oil be traded in Chinese dollars instead of American dollars, you know.
Right.
So there's that kind of thing going on too. But that's for the politicians.
So who's making the most money in stock trading?
Well, who's making it? If you ask me, I would say it's the banks. Because all the large banks, at least, they have hedge funds out there. They're not only trading stocks, they're trading commodities. And they're controlling these markets. Not that they're, you know, intentionally doing it and they're talking to each other, you know, every day. It's not done in that fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But they're making it, and for, you know, an individual that's, you know, just has a little life savings in his pocket, you know, trying to, you know, save some money for his retirement, it's pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's the banks, followed by the pension companies, mutual funds, and then, you know, the individual who,
right.
Whatever. So, yeah, it's that's just the way it is today, I feel.
Right.
You know.
Well, with all the changes that have occurred with the industry, too, does it make it easier or harder for individuals to be successful in the stock market?
You know, you asked the question sort of before, is it best to sort of like who you should get your advice from?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my knowledge is, you know, there's, you know, brokerage firms out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, you know, the brokers that sell stocks. But usually what happens if they're working for a company, the company comes out and tells the broker which stocks to sell.
Right.
To their clients, and that's what they're pushing. But that is not a good source to get advice, you know, in the long term, you know,
mm-hmm.
in the long run, because they're only, you know, what's here today could be gone tomorrow. So
sure.
You're more or less left to be on your own,
mm-hmm.
and figure this stuff out for yourself. You know,
I'll do your own research, do your own homework, basically.
Yeah, right. And mm-hmm. and that's why knowing what a trend line, I feel, is such an important thing for most investors to know about, instead of blindly just placing their money in the market month after month after month and hoping
sure.
for that.
Sure. And so as we're surprisingly running out of time very quickly here, I do want to ask you this to leave people with before we welcome you back again in 2 weeks to continue the five-part episode here. Should people trust financial advisors, in your opinion?
I'd say absolutely not. For several reasons. One is, like I said, the advisors, unless they're really good, you know, and independent advisors, there are some good advisors out there. Not all of them are bad, but the price you pay for them, you know,
mm-hmm.
could be excessive, more than what I think they're worth. But some people have money like that. So,
bottom line is no, don't.
Right. But on the other hand, if you're working, you know, 60 to 80 hours a week, do you have time to figure out how to do it? The answer is
probably
no.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So there's the positive and there's the negative.
Yeah, right. Time constraints. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Usually,
absolutely.
People with a lot of money don't have a lot of excess time.
That's very true. And with that, Neil, I'm going to have to end today's show, but I do want to welcome you back again. Like I said, we're 2 weeks from today, same time. We'll have you back on, and we can discuss additional topics here as Neil Golden, Stock Chart Reader.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you,
Rob. Absolutely, and you too.
Okay. Talk to you
soon. All right, we'll talk to you soon. From everybody here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying we'll see you soon.